Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
We're here.
Why did you switch this to divorce? The thing over?
Yeah, no.
They can't hear us.
I did. We have sound. We should have sound. Everybody should be hearing us.
Hopefully.
We have a few
technical difficulties
here that kept us from getting to you in a timely manner.
A great way of putting it.
Well,
awesome. Wait, no, it's true. I'm just saying it's like, hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize for the slight delay because of technical difficulties in which prevented us from
coming
to you.
That's correct. Okay, so here we go. Okay, maybe they're not hearing us. Oh, but I bet they're hearing us now.
Are they?
Hello and welcome to Indie Inner Tube. There were some technical difficulties. Amanda, why don't you do that voice?
Which voice? The one back here?
Technical difficulty. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will hold your seats for two more moments as we deal with technical difficulty.
Tubes.
Of all the time for your computer to make a little the error, that was perfect. That was absolutely fantastic right in that moment.
I'm glad you think it's funny.
The wonderful world of technology.
Hello and welcome to Indie Inner Tube, your home for all that is hot in the streaming in the world of digital content creation. I am your host.
Woo!
And my name is April, and there's my co-host named Amanda, who's a complete
Hello.
Dork. Today is March 31st. It is 7 p.m. and a little bit, 7:06 p.m. on the East
Seven-ish.
Coast. And welcome to Indie Inner Tube.
Baby watch. I'm going to lose the pool.
All right, explain to the people.
All right, my lovely, beautiful, wonderful sister is pregnant with her first child, and tomorrow is technically my brand new baby niece's due date. And I said that she would be born today, and she would be a green baby. She would be a March baby. But that has not, I have yet to receive any kind of message or anything that is happening. She's waiting anxiously. At this point, she'll probably be here on your birthday if Maddie continues to just chill
True.
In her mama's belly. So that's what I mean by baby watch. Like, for the next at least 24 hours, we're by the phone waiting for my mom to be calling hysterically. What's happening?
Well, and I'm on birthday watch.
You are on birthday watch. It's like the whole week. This whole week
leading
up to your birthday.
Yeah.
That's how your birthday works, right? I get the holiday. I get Thanksgiving. And then you get like the whole week.
Of course.
That's just how we roll.
Isn't that the way that it works?
In your house, yes.
Well, it is my birthday coming.
It is. It is your birthday. What are you, 30?
Yeah.
All right. I like that number.
That's why I love you.
See?
30 is a nice round number.
It's an even number. You know, it's divisible.
Sounds good. Any news to share tonight?
I got little bits of news.
Lay it on the people.
Couple of news. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but one of the larger, most expensive transmedia projects out there, also known as Defiance, will be returning But before it returns to your television screen, it's going to return to the internet first with a web series that will lead into the lead or the season premiere and also tie in with events that will happen in the MMO game. I'm amazed that this show has gone beyond a first season. If anybody's watched it, it's not that bad.
Why?
It's typical sci-fi fare. Well, because they invested so much money in it. I think it was something along the lines of 5 to 7 years for them to come up, you know, with the development of the game itself and then have it coincide with the release of the actual television show. But yeah, so that's coming. And apparently that's the new fad for a lot of shows, especially coming off of like a mid-season hiatus. It's like, let's give you a couple in between and we'll call it a web series and put it on our like NBC, ABC, whatever, and have it, you know, premiere before the hiatus ends. Mm-hmm. You know your mic's not on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're just in the background. So, Netflix. This came out today.
I'm letting you handle the news.
Yeah, I see. But I would like input from you because it's important. Other than Anyway, so apparently there is a Netflix must series, as in I suppose you must Netflix it and watch it and have it. So guess what's coming around again?
Oh, no. Do I really want to? Go ahead.
The Guild.
Really?
Yes. The quirky web series, as it is labeled in this article, is now available as long-form episodes on Netflix.
Wow, really?
Yes.
How interesting is that?
That released today. Check out The Guild on Netflix. And if you don't have Netflix, well, you should, through your Xbox. You could have watched it there, too. So, yeah, I find it interesting that it's long form. That's very cool. So that was that little piece of news. Something else that is in our hearts for one particular reason, one big...
Why are they treating The Guild like it's brand new?
Because it's on Netflix. Netflix? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just...
It's fresh and unique?
Yeah, you on the Hollywood article?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, woo, check it out. It's like, dude.
Like, hey, we've never heard of it before. Really? Because we've all seen
it. We've all seen it, man. Where you been? So here's something that's near and dear to our hearts, mostly because of who was in it, at least in the first season. Kevin Tantrone.
Woohoo.
A man we should all know the name of has been talking in some of the circuits that he's been visiting and going around, because we know Comic-Con circuits have been happening, Mortal Kombat Legacy Season 3.
Three?
Yes. Now, he said in October he planned to take a hiatus from his series in order to pursue other creative opportunities. However, 6 months after the fact, he stated, we're starting to talk about Legacy 3. Literally this week, knock on wood, that he's starting to talk to Warner Brothers and the video game creators so that they can all see it through. Because apparently, according to Tantrone himself, the second season of the web series ended in a cliffhanger that pissed off way too many people. The director, Ed Boon, and those of you who are Mortal Kombat fans should know that name, and Tantrone are going to get together and chat, talk to Warner Brothers, and figure it all out. So I find that interesting, and I'm excited. I love that he's working with both properties, the movie rights property owners as well as the content right property owners, being the owners of Mortal Kombat in the game, Ed Boon, and the rest. let's see. Okay, for those of you who like Downton Abbey, I've not watched it, so. But I know there's a lot of people that are fans. There's a gentleman, his name is Dan Stevens, and he is a star from Downton Abbey, or was formerly. He will be playing a cross-dresser in a web series called High Maintenance. I just thought that was very interesting. He's apparently supposed to be very, like, dapper and lavish, very Mr. Darcy. Esque in Downton Abbey. So I find it funny that he's pretty much playing the except he's standing there in a women's dress coat and a big black bow on top of his head in the shot for the web series. So I find that funny.
You know, Netflix has had the Guild before.
I know, but
it's not even
no,
new.
No, this is their long format release. That's what I'm saying. It's Netflix long format release. Sure.
What the hell does that mean?
It just means that essentially season one will probably be shown as one episode. Season two will probably be shown as one episode. Season three, one episode. Yeah. That's all. I don't know. That's all I can think is that it's been edited and put together in long format.
But see, I see another article from March the 2nd of this year that just says all six seasons are on Netflix.
Right. And yet today it's going...
Netflix put new episodes, meaning new to Netflix.
Right. And yet today somehow it's new. Because that article, the Hollywood article, came out today. It's about new long form... Yeah, I don't know. I don't work for Netflix. I just know that they're making a big deal about it. And I find it amusing.
I find it amusing as well.
Because I'm kind of
and
going...
And weird.
It's very weird. I'm like, but I own it. I bought it. I've had it for years. I don't know if you know it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Birthdays?
You do the birthdays because I always miss birthdays. I do know that Stephanie Thorpe's birthday just happened, but I said that on the last show. Aha. Aha.
You're weird.
I am very weird. It's the technical difficulties. It throws everything off.
Machinima got a new CEO.
They did. That's, wow. Really?
And Hulu hired a Warner Brothers TV vet as head of content.
Interesting. And yet. Oh, wait. I know one big thing in news that we wanted to talk about. Let me see. Oh, yeah. We were talking last week about how a lot of these larger television networks are buying out digital content studios who prior to this point have been independent and will therefore own them. And I found it interesting because one of the comments that I read in the article concerning the matter was that the big boys in television can do and buy whatever they want, but the internet is ours and we run it and we own it and we can do what we want with it. No sooner did I read that did we stumble upon the article that Television Without Pity is going to be shut down. Because its owners, NBC Universal, feel that 6 million base users is not enough to sustain or monetize the website.
Now, one of the largest websites on the internet.
Yes. Now, all of its content will be archived.
Oh, here it comes.
It will be archived. However, it will be unavailable to the public. And was it today or is it May 31st that is the last day it will be up?
I'm not sure. Let me check.
I can't remember. It might be today. But, yeah. And I read that, and I was like, wow. You know, I could have gotten behind the individual who stated that, yes, the internet is ours, and websites are ours, and content is ours, and what we discuss and fight about and ship and argue and plot and laugh and cry and joke and talk about online on websites, such as Television Without Pity, will never go away because we run them as people and fans and creators and all these other things, only to find out that, wait, no, it got sold out to a company who, again, finds that 6 million base users is not strong enough to sustain them nor making enough money. So we will archive it, shut it down, and keep it in our vault.
Well, they're closing Daily Candy, too.
And yes, and Daily Candy. But I know a lot of people, at least in our circuit, have been a
but
large
NBC
part of
Universal bought Television Without Pity
like
for
seven
an
years
undisclosed
ago.
Sum in 2007.
Yeah.
And paid $125 million for Daily Candy.
Right. 7 years ago. You got 6 million users. You've had 7 years. And somehow it's not good enough for you? So you're just going to shut it down and shove it in your vault?
Well, some people are blaming Twitter for it. I think that's a cop-out.
That is cop out. That's like saying, that's like blaming any other
forums
social
aren't
media.
Dead. Twitter didn't kill forums.
Are you kidding me? That's like saying, oh, wait, and Facebook killed social interaction. Tumblr's killing my brain. Like, what? No. You can't. That's such a cop-out. 140 characters does not give me enough time to snark about the entirety of an hour-long episode on television, and yet Television Without Pity in forum will allow me to do that. And allow other people who are smart and intelligent enough to form more than five sentences together to have a conversation with me that, you know, helps my brain out in the long run with some of the crazy plot crap that we see on television. But again, it just goes to show you that there seems to be a monopoly in the entertainment space that's been there since the frickin' 50s. I don't see it changing anytime soon, especially with the newest acquisitions and mergers. Good luck, everyone, and good night. No. But it's one of those things. I mean, you know, Miss, I must chew on ice instead of speaking to the microphone.
I really don't have much more to say about it than that.
You don't have nothing? Nothing?
No. Because we saw it coming. Everybody should have seen it coming.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and then you have, you know, you have articles reading like former TV news stars are finding second life online, or, you know, new online network showcases dumbasses and fat cats. And it's just like, we're, you know, we're watching CNN and there's this five-person discussion about white trash culture and reality television being the norm and what people want. I'm like, I don't watch TV for that. I don't seek it out. I live in a very southern region of the United States. I can look to my left and see those individuals. I don't need to watch it on my television. Scripted into even more ridiculousness.
I was trying to find a full list of winners for LA Webfest. I can't seem to do that.
They're being like
here we go.
Road run in on Facebook. I was just about to ask, what about LA Webfest? But yeah, now apparently the biggest thing for 2014 in digital and social media is gatekeeping and filter bubbles. I'm like, that's awesome. It's not the promotion and creation of content or expanding, you know, great social media leaps and bounds and all these other things. No, it's about gatekeeping and filter bubbles to viral idiot videos and multiple platform sharing that apparently causes everyone to lose money and shut down websites. Anyway, today's one of those days.
It's a very long list of winners for LA Webfest, so I don't think we're going to have time to read them
all. Did you send me the link?
Yeah.
Okay. Put it in here. Do you want to do like the overall five? Best drama, best comedy?
Well, yeah, they don't even have it listed that way.
Oh, poop. Yeah, I said poop. Yeah, I said it.
The Indie Series Awards are coming up.
Hey.
Like this week.
I know. What are they? Like, yeah, tomorrow, are they? No. When are they? Like Wednesday?
Hold on.
I'm so, like, okay, you have to understand. Right now, I think it's Wednesday because I'm so used to doing a show on Wednesday. However, it's Monday. I don't really know it's Monday because it's also April Sunday. So, because she goes, you know, she's got to go back to the man, work for the man tomorrow. And it's so our days are kind of messed up. See? So they are Wednesday.
Wednesday night at the Portal Theater.
Look at that. I was right. They're not tonight. They're Wednesday. They're not my Wednesday night. They're the actual Wednesday of the universe night.
Right.
I will confuse it and probably feel like it's a Sunday because it's an award show and all award shows are on Sunday. So I thought I was in the chat room. Am I not? I don't think so. What happened?
I don't know. I thought you were in there.
I thought I was too. The dog just shot me cold. I logged in. Okay, I'm there. I think.
For those of you who
are utterly confused.
May or may not watch Criminal Minds, may or may not watch traditional talk.
Oh, yes! yes.
On this past week's Criminal Minds, very popular series, I would say I saw one of the best episodes they've ever done.
There was a clinic in monologuing.
It was really good. And one of the reasons that it was really good is their guest star for that episode.
Yes.
Why am I talking about this? You asked because of her connection to the web series world. Her name is Asha Davis.
You should know that name.
And if you are not familiar with her work in the web series world, you should be familiar with her work on South of Nowhere, which was a groundbreaking television series back in the day. But in the web series world, Asha Davis is the star of The Unwritten Rules.
Y'all know what we're talking about.
Have talked about that show on this show
multiple times.
It is extremely funny. She is wonderful in it. And she was on Criminal Minds this week.
Yes.
And I mean in...
She was like... And it wasn't like your typical guest star role where we circle around and kind of see them a total of maybe 10 minutes of screen time in an hour-long drama. She was in it for at least 35 of the 45 minutes broadcast. Minimum. An opposite... single solitary person the majority of the time. It was epic. If you can catch it on demand, if you can pull it up, if you can watch it on CBS.com, you should see that, because I'm telling you right now, we're going to start seeing more. I'm waiting for Grace Helbig to show up on some comedy show or SNL. I am. Like, she's just going to pop up on screen and everyone's going to flip out. But it's happening, and it's great, and I love Joel Bryant has been on an episode of Criminal Minds.
Has he?
Yes.
On Criminal Minds?
Yes. He played a crazy shit. But, yeah, I love seeing my web series people on television.
I don't remember him being on Criminal Minds.
I thought it was Criminal Minds. Yeah.
I'm trying to find for you guys the name of the episode that she was on.
And he was on Revenge. It was Revenge I was thinking of.
Because this was a great...
No, he was on Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior.
He was?
Yes. He was on Criminal
Minds. We must have seen it.
We did. We watched it. He played a creepy guy with a hat. and he was on Harry's Law. And then most recently, he was on Revenge as a police officer.
So let's see, we're in season 9 of Criminal Minds right now, and the name of the episode was The Edge of Winter. Is that the one?
Yes, yes. I believe it's in reference to a written work.
Is it?
I think so. I could be wrong.
The Edge of Winter episode of Criminal Minds. The Nature of Victimhood, that is the one.
Yeah.
She was...
awesome.
Awesome in it. And, I mean, I cannot even begin to tell you how good Asha Davis was.
And if you rewatch it, like, if rewatching it once you get to what the whole episode really comes to a head at, you're sitting there going, oh, my God, why didn't I see that? And then when you go back and watch it again, you see that she was doing all the things that you should have paid attention to but weren't, because you were paying attention to her emotions.
And another thing I wanted to mention, and Darren just brought it up again, tell the people who's coming up on Game of Thrones.
Oh! You know her. She's in the Bloody Mary show. She's one of our favorites. One of our favorites. She's the scariest clown around.
That's right. Viscera from Bloody Mary show is going to be guest starring on
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Amanda's been so excited about it, I can't even tell you.
I saw a picture and I was like, oh, my God, what? Wait, what? So Elizabeth Webster, who plays Viscera on Bloody Mary, will be on Game of Thrones. I'm loving it. Give me more. Somebody in my little web series space that I love so desperately so much to show up on American Horror Story. Somebody call Ryan Murphy.
Oh, my God.
Please, for the love of God, if anybody has a favor to call in, or anything, somebody get on American Horror Story, please, so we can
I want my web series people on American Horror Story.
Freak show. Please. Y'all are all fantastic, and I know that you're freaky enough to at least be a part of the background cast at some sort of freak carnival, God only knows what, thing that Ryan Murphy could put together. And I want to see it. So work really hard at that.
You know Tanya Einman wants to be on that show.
Hey, Vampire Zombie Werewolf.
She mentioned it the first season.
I know. Everybody wanted to be dead in the first season. And this, just waiting. I want to see it. I want to see tweets about it. I want to see it on your Facebook.
Who do you think would be the best person?
I don't know. It depends. Do you want him to be, like, straight man in the scene, or do you want him to be freak?
I want him to be freak.
Oh, God. I don't know. Because there's some pretty freaky people in the web. Somebody totally unexpected. Paul Rhodes. Be like, oh, she's all so nice and sweet. And then she comes out being like the mermaid lady, but not in the pretty sense like Ariel from Disney, but like the thing with the monkey body married to the fish body and all like fangs and teeth and weird contacts and like webbed hands. And and climbing out of a tank and shit.
Darren says Michael Caruso is Dog Boy.
Oh, God. That would be so sad. That would be sad because he's so sweet and kind-hearted that really bad shit would have happened to
Brendan Fong as Dog Boy. See?
Oh.
See?
But he's going to be, can we say
Rick him? Dalton from Ragged Isle?
Rick Dalton
yeah.
from Ragged Isle.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a collar, you know, like a clown that's all white-faced with his hair all slicked back and the weird, like, dastardly do-right kind of mustache, being all like, aha! Come see! But can we say something about Brendan Fong?
Go ahead.
He's going to be a daddy. If you haven't checked his Facebook lately, you should.
I would make Michael Caruso the, like, carnival barker.
The carnival barker. This nice, wonderful, dapper gentleman and be like, come on down! Get the shit scared out of you! But you have to, what are you going to have? Are you going to have the elephant man? Are you going to have the dog boy? Are you going to have the contortionist? Are you going to have the mermaid? Are you going to have the freak and the geek who eat random stuff and nail the sword swallower and the fire breather? Or are you going to have some really messed up stuff? Like the human
torso. You're going to have all the normal ones, and then you're going to have the really messed up stuff.
Right, like the human torso and the guy with four arms or something.
So, for those of you who don't know, we have a guest coming on here shortly.
We do.
And I want to talk a little bit about his show before he comes on. Aaron Garcia, I hope it's Aaron Garcia or it's Aaron Garcia, is coming on from We Are Angels. Oh. And then later on in the show, Sandra Payne from Purse Dog TV is coming on.
Yay!
To mention and kind of promote and talk about tonight's IWTV meetup, as well as promote the fact that she's going to be coming on the show in April to talk about her own projects. Now, Sandra Payne is a wonderful person, for those of you who have had the chance to meet her. But let's talk a bit about We Are Angels. Now, this show has been in the works for a long time.
Right.
And we featured it on our show, God, a while back.
Yeah, I want to say that it was the first trailer, which was
2011,
2012?
Earlier than that even, I think.
Yeah.
But Mr. Garcia is on the line. I'm not going to welcome him to the show yet because I want to talk a bit about the first four episodes. He's going to be listening, so he'll
Good, because then he can talk about it.
I have specific questions for him.
But first you have to say, first I will give a tried and true warning to anybody who seeks out the show and just drops in on the first episode. Make sure you have some Kleenex. You are affected by things of this nature, of angels or demons or any kind of aspect of not necessarily supernatural but sort of ethereal things, and you're gonna need some Kleenex. It's going to affect you.
I would say you should definitely have Kleenex for the first episode for sure.
Oh, beyond, yeah.
I thought in the first episode that the thoughts of your ordinary average people were very poignant. And I like the way they peppered them through there.
Because everybody in those situations thinks those things.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like that you had, did I treat the people in my life? Was my life worth it? Was I nice? Did I treat them?
These are genuine things people discuss.
Could I have done more?
Right. Did I
But the one that really got to me was the guy who said, I don't want to be here if you're not here.
Right. I can't sleep when you're not here. When I can't sleep when you're not with me, I don't want to be here if you're not here. It's just like.
It was so poignant. So poignant. And Amanda had already watched it when I sat down to watch, to like kind of binge watch the first four episodes. And she can't see my face when I'm watching things. I've got my back to her.
Me.
And I had headphones on, so she had no idea what my reaction to this first episode was. And we haven't even hardly had a chance to talk about it. And I just turned around and looked at her, and wow, and that's what I said. But I was actually moved to tears by that first episode, by the build up to that those final moments.
Yeah, and what you described it as was perfect. It's there's something so beautiful in the simplicity of all of it, and that's one of the things that really strikes me, because for me, I can be a very simple person. There are small things make me happy.
The first episode was beautiful in its simplicity.
Yeah, and that
not
me,
overly religious.
No.
In one faction or another, and yet very spiritual.
Right.
Very much ethereal. Very much into this story that it is leading us to, which
right.
is a great battle.
And yet, wouldn't that be like in my head? That is the quintessential element of that kind of being.
Yeah, he captured the quintessential way most people think of angels.
Right. It's
and when they faded,
beauty. It's there.
Into that moment, except for the one older lady
right.
who clearly saw.
Right, because maybe it was her time. We don't know. But it's just in that moment, you're like, it's so simple. It's so beautiful that it hurts.
The music is wonderful.
Yes.
The original music. Now, in the trailers, they use music from The Fountain.
In the first one, and then in the second one, it was from The Crow and Pearl Harbor, because I'm a nut.
I know, you're a nut.
I'm a nut
music.
Like that, and I heard it, and I was like, so.
But the original music in the actual series is very good.
Yes. And it's not over, it doesn't overshadow anything. It doesn't.
And then I watched Agatha, and I realized that in that second episode that she's going to be very important to the show.
Oh, yes.
She is obviously going to bring a confrontation between good and evil.
Well, and her story with the letter to her mother.
Oh, that letter was devastating.
You're just like, the first episode was fantastic. You have this is how wonderful the show is. You have this first episode that's just simple, ethereal, almost too much to handle beauty because it's so simple. And then you have this second episode, and it literally is the inner turmoil of a human being, right? Where they're like, everything is fine and everything is good. And here's, I'm not going to tell you the truth, but then here is the truth. And then all, you know, everything that follows after it in her disruption of what she considers to be a good and joyful life.
Right, and then somebody in the chat room, TCB just said the show looks beautiful. Can't wait to see more. And it really is. And I don't want to waste too much more time on the review because I want to talk to him
on the line.
The third episode, Pero, I thought was brilliant in the way that it brought in the darkness.
Yes, and I don't necessarily know if he's
and again
a
non-affiliated religious kind of
right.
thing in that he says it's all about your self-doubts and your fears.
Yes.
And what I feed on the most is your anger and your hatred.
Right. And how he called himself a plague. And
don't worry about calling the angels who are so far, far away. You'll call me, and I
will be right there.
Will be the last God you see.
Right. And for that, I'm sitting there going, of course, that's perfect. And he's not necessarily, he's not demonic. He's not weird. He's not, like, scary. It's just, like, despair in that moment that he's that element.
It's the acceptance of your place in the world. It's your acceptance
of
like
being
you said,
human.
The trash around you.
Right, of being human.
Brilliant. And then, of course, the fourth episode. I will have to say the actress playing Miranda, the angel, is
so good.
And I love the way all of his actors carry themselves.
Angel versus human.
And their
versus,
emotions on their face to separate themselves from the human characters. Very well done.
Yeah.
Very well directed. Very well written.
The third episode, yes, in the chat room, TCB just said the third episode was chilling. I agree.
It really was. The third episode was very scary.
Because, again, it was like being faced with this actual embodiment entity of despair, waste, plague, fear, anger, hate, all wrapped
anxiety,
up in this
self-doubt.
Little, in this little, like, homeless joy box. Who is
so now that we've said what we think is going on, because I know that I believe Agatha is going to bring a battle.
Oh,
her soul is important in some way.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to get her before the angels do.
Oh.
So let's get him on the line now and see if we are at all right in any of this.
Wow. Well, you both made my day today. I said you both made my day today.
Wow. Get so cranky sometimes. We watch so many shows.
Yeah.
Both new and old, but we watch a ton of new shows, and there's always a ton of people that put trailers out, and then the show finally comes out, and they remind you, and you watch it, and you're like, God, now it's awful. And I get cranky.
Pterodactyl
poison. Not good, but this is amazing. Congratulations, sir. It's wonderful.
No, thank you so much. I'm happy to finally get it out, you know, and get people to finally see it. Something that I've had, you know, been working on for, you made comment about it, of I've been probably working on it for about 4 years. And a lot of it's not because of all little special effects or anything weird like that. It's literally an independent film that basically, you know, I was producing it, shooting a lot of it, you know, editing it, and you were dealing with actor schedules and so forth. And so it's tough to, like, gosh, you know, the whole point of making a project is to share it, and you have it in your living room, and you have it just in your office, and that's it, you know? And so it's really nice to finally get feedback from people, you know, of like, what do they think? What do they, you know, how does it affect you or whatnot? So it's been really
I did not expect to be moved to tears by the first episode, but I was.
I didn't mean for it to be like, I mean, I guess I wanted to set up the world of what the series was going to be about, but I had no clue that people would, I guess you're so connected when you're working on it, you don't know how people are going to react. But, you know, the fact that it is affecting people, you know, I guess it says a lot of the people involved and just the theme overall, you know, that people can connect.
How difficult that is to pull an audience in and get them that emotionally invested in 7 minutes.
Yeah. I'm learning it.
I'm sure you've gotten other feedback that people were moved to that point.
Yeah, you know, when I first – I showed it – I remember, what was it? I showed it to a couple people, like, early on. Like, showed it to my girlfriend, and I showed it to one of the other actresses involved. And I remember, like, just, you know, like, one of them, like, she turned to me after she saw it, tears in her face. You know, in her eyes, like, oh my, I didn't think it was to that extent. I mean, like I said, I think because you're so connected and you're so, like, I'm seeing it technically, like, okay, I need to edit, maybe get the feel this way to make sure, it, you know, at least people, I don't know, you just look at it a different way. But then when you see all that hard work come out and that people, I don't know, the fact that they connect, you know, and how the performances, as small as, you know, maybe you're on screen for a little bit, everybody I know committed 100%. To it,
absolutely.
You know, even if they're, you know, on and that makes a difference where, you know, you feel for the man, you know, about losing his wife, and you feel about the old woman or the runaway or the alcoholic, you know, you could kind of connect and stuff, but no, I'm very flattered.
And the writing and the performance and the direction was so good in that first episode that you knew without it being dumbed down, without being told that he lost his wife. She has regrets. That's an alcoholic. That's a runaway. You knew it almost instantly just by their own internal dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And that
and
it was remarkable.
You know, and a lot of it, too, just, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's nice to hear that it's working, you know, that it is making, you know, people are connecting, you know, as far as, because like I said, I guess when you do a project or, you know, when you're doing something, you know, creative or whatnot, you don't know how people will react to it. And you don't know if it worked, you know. I'm very happy.
You're 4 years down the road, and it's become more than just a creative project now.
Yeah.
You want to get this out. and share it with people, and there are so many other things that you have to deal with than just, okay, now we're going to birth the baby and see what people think. Now it's a whole new world for you to get those kinds of reactions.
Yeah, it's when you've been on one end for so long, and then you're like, okay, now I have to, how do you approach this whole world? And, kind of getting people to see it. You know, that's been also another, avenue of just how to get the exposure and get people aware of it, that, hey, this exists, you know. It's
hopefully
definitely...
today we'll get more.
Oh, what was that?
Hopefully having you on the show today and people in the chat room and all of that, hopefully more people see it.
No, I'm so honored to be on the show because after I'd first done the first year or two, when I had at least like 6-7 episodes already ready, I was actually going to release it like around 2012, and your show was the first one I started watching to kind of get a better. I realized I didn't know a lot about like the web series world. I realized that, like, I did a web series, but I hadn't watched a lot. I hadn't, been part of the community. And your show was the one that got me so involved with, as far as meeting other, web series creators, other great shows and talents. So for me, I was really excited to be a part of this.
I'm just so excited that that the show's finally out there. I
yeah,
really, really am.
It took a while.
So where
go ahead.
Before we talk about the other episodes, where did the idea for the show come from? Where did your mythology come from? Because in discussing that.
Yeah, I guess it's a mix of a lot of different things that kind of blended into what it became. I remember talking to a friend of mine who was actually doing a web series, and I was helping him edit it. And he was telling me more about, like, what they, what it was and what they were. And I think for me it was just like, wow, I like the whole idea of the fact that it's not short film, it's not feature film, it's not TV. It's a whole other realm that you could tell a story in a completely different way. And I knew some of the series that were actually being very successful doing that. And so I just thought, well, what would I do if I were to do a web series? I'm trying to get my name out as a director. And so I had done an experimental short film years ago about kind of these two angels that come to Earth, and they're supposed to help this human, this guy who's like kind of insane or something like that, that he needs help from these angels. But one of the angels doesn't want to help him. I guess they're going to die after one day. So their mission is to find that human. But one of them is like, well, if we're going to die that one day, we might as well enjoy the day, not go looking for this person or whatever. So I thought, well, what if I expanded on this whole idea of, angels and kind of this world that I could kind of bring something to? So I didn't want to base it off of any kind of like, in the past, whether it be religious kind of, okay, it has to be like this. Because I felt like those are already written. Those characters are already kind of been made. And I felt like I wanted to have that flexibility to say, well, if I wanted to go this route with it, or if it goes that route, that I can have that freedom to do it and not feel like I've already been confined by other people's kind of rules about it. And, as far as going into the whole angel, demon thing, you kind of talked about it of like, I didn't want to do anything. I guess I wanted to do something that if you were spiritual and you did have faith, that if this helps strengthen it, that's beautiful. If you're not into that, kind of stuff and that doesn't appeal to you, that it's still something that we still connect with hope and the mythology of it, of angels and demons and just the whole kind of that whole realm, that you could still connect with it so that it doesn't feel, I don't like to do projects that spoon feed stuff to you. I like it when it's like, oh, I can participate in it. That's what got me excited about whether it be films or comic books or anything like that, was that I could bring something to it, my imagination or whatnot. So I kind of hope these feel like something where, like you said, you're kind of relating it into your own life, to some extent of like, oh, I can associate with that, or I can feel that person's pain. And, gosh, I, would hope angels could kind of come and help or whatever. But, that's kind of a roundabout way.
You really hit in the first episode kind of what my how do I want to say this, my personal thought on the way fictional angels should be, or real angels are, for that matter, in that I love how you had them kind of walk into the rooms and comfort people with a touch or a hug or a lean, and then kind of disappear, kind of to let you know they're not real people standing there, perceive it in that moment. And I loved that you could see, your actors are so good. I love that you could see the comfort on the face of the man who had lost his wife. You saw comfort in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. You should be so proud of yourself. It's such a good show.
Yeah, no, for me, a lot of it too, you know, as far as like the whole, even just going into the spiritual realm, probably came from my mom. You know, she raised me Catholic, and you know, when you get older, sometimes those, it's not the same, you know, you may, you know, look at it, you know, from where you kind of raised from a little differently, but those still core beliefs are still there. And so I think that's how she taught me, you know, that it wasn't judgmental, it wasn't something that you're, you know, righteous, not right, that has nothing to do with that kind of, you know, just it's about caring, it's about, you know, kind of like what these angels were, you know, that they're coming and it's just that comfort that you need, it's that compassion. So,
and I like that you know, you kind of dispelled some of those standard questions that you get right away when she said, we don't go to everyone, we go to the ones who are not, we don't even go to everybody in need. It's just the ones that we're called to go to.
Smart exposition.
Very smart exposition.
And that's tough, too, because you're trying to fit it in to areas without feeling like, you know, okay, we're you know, this is just, they're going to tell me more about this, you know, the story. Sometimes you could tune out, and it's very fun. Like with these, I like doing it, the fact that you don't have a lot of time. You're trying to see it in any little way you can, their expression, the camera angle, the lighting, you know, and all of it works on you. You know, you respond to everything, you know.
Now, how did you talk to your actors, or what kind of direction did you give them about the way they hold their bodies and their facial expressions? Because they do a very good job of using those things and minute changes in the way they hold their hands or their body or how open their eyes are, their facial expressions, to separate themselves from your human characters so that they physically look different when in actuality they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But we perceive them as looking different because of what – how did you get them to that point?
Gosh, a lot of it, like, I guess I approach with the actors, everybody's different. You know, there's one actor you can talk one way and another actor you can't. They won't get it. And so a lot of times, I guess it would depend who it was, that you could kind of set up a whole background for them. Like, you know, say, for instance, you know, the man who lost his wife, you know, you just start talking about it and you just try to get them to personalize it. Where, you know, either it might not be, you know, they might not have lost a loved one, but, you know, they have something, maybe they've, you know, either they, someone's lost,
right,
someone that they know, you know, or, you know, you're just trying to find something that they can connect to, because then it's not like they're trying to act, you know, that they're trying to find something, you know.
What about your
what was that?
Like, what about your actors? Because they do great effect, their bodies and their faces different.
With them, I approach it like when they came, like let's say for instance on the first episode when they were coming down, you know, I basically told them that, you know, when they're coming down to Earth, this is the first time they've experienced it. So for them, you know, here we live, you know, on Earth, we take everything for granted, where with them, everything is, it feels different than their realm. It may look the same, but the wind, the sun, the way things feel or whatever, it feels real to them, where in their spirit world, where they come from is, you know, it's almost like they're seeing spirits of a tree or something like that. I don't know if that makes any sense. But
no, it does.
But I think with them approaching it in terms of, I don't know if there's, you'd have to probably ask one of the angels, but I know that a lot of it had to do with just, we know that we're coming here to help someone, and I think if, you know, I think most people, if they have that, you know, if they're told, I don't know, they just kind of keep, they were able to kind of connect with it, and I don't know if it maybe could have been just, you know, with the Angels, I didn't do anything different from what I did with the humans in terms of, like, you know, you just set them up within a background, and you just try to get them to a point where they start accepting of, like, this is new for me, and there is maybe a hierarchy or something of, I know I'm here to comfort, and that person's here to accept it. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense or anything, but
remarkable actors. Your actors are phenomenal.
Oh, I lucked out with two of the actors at the end of the episode 3 and 4 had been in other films. I know Courtney Gaines has done a lot of feature films and TV, as well as Lisa Brenner. And so they were already kind of established. And Ashley Dowling was such that one was kind of a fun one where she had actually auditioned for a lot of the different Angel parts. And it didn't quite – we couldn't find that right fit, but we knew we liked her a lot. And it just kind of worked out where Agatha kind of came out where we needed. You know, the original girl that was supposed to play it actually backed out due to another engagement. So we were like, oh, I don't know if I want to go back and start looking for every, you know, doing more auditions. But just talking to her, it just you got that sense that she gets it. She has that fire, you know, as far as of I know I can show what I can do.
And Lisa Brenner just has that perfect look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When she came in for auditioning, it was like instant. We were like, that's her. She came in with both that strength but compassionate kind of feel to her, and it was just instant we knew that was Miranda. So we just kind of got lucky.
Well, speaking of lucky, and there's a question coming in from the chat room too, but I have to ask you first, how in the world did you luck out with Courtney Gaines?
You know, with him, it was his manager. I don't know how he had found We Are Angels. We had actually, I'd been auditioning for quite a while, and he had found, you know, as far as the project, and, you know, had, as far as offered, you know, hey, would you want to, you know, at least bring Courtney in, see if you might be the right part for it. And when he came in, I mean, Courtney is somebody who, like, ultimate professional. You know, if he's going to play a particular part, he's going to go. Yeah, he's going to go full tilt. And he's going to give you everything and then some, you know, as far as and that's when he came in. I think what sold me definitely for when I work with somebody, I want to feel comfortable with them. So when we actually just sat for coffee and we started talking about basketball and stuff like that. And I think I was I get him, he gets me, and he was really excited about the project. So they worked it out where, you know, as far as he was able to do it, and, you know, I made it easy for him. He was only, you know, for that one episode, I think we shot for like 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half. He has that great blend of, I don't know, he can draw you in and you know there's something bad about him, but then you're still willing to come close towards him. You don't know what he'll do, but he doesn't scare you where you're going to run. He brings you in before he does his thing, you know?
Yes, I've followed him as a character actor for years. I mean, he's done some amazing work in films and televisions and video games, and he's very recognizable, that face.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that kind of made me kind of happy was my nephew, I had told him that Courtney was going to be in it. And, you know, as far as we grew up on, like, you know, his films from, like, the 80s. And my nephew got so excited. Like, I felt like I got the seal of approval from my family when he heard he was in it. So I thought that made me feel great.
Every time I see him, the first thing I think is Children of the Corn. Every time.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it perfect.
It just kind of blends
into
this whole.
Unless he was, like, from, you know, The Omen or something.
I mean, he's a lot, but that's one that still stands out.
Freaky.
He's a fantastic character actor. Where did you – the question from the chat room is, where is it filmed? Are you filmed in L.A.?
Yeah. I shot it in and around all the different areas in L.A. where – I mean, like a lot of the stuff, what was it, the Angel stuff, where it looks like they're in these big forests, kind of woods, is actually shot like in little patches. Because L.A. has, I mean, they have a big, you know, a couple big, huge parks or whatever, but, you know, it's not lush to some, you know, it's not like a forest.
Right.
So, like, if I pan to the left, you're going to see a parking lot. And if I pan to the right, you see, you know, homes and stuff like that, to where it's like you just find little sections you can cheat it. You know? But it's in and around, like, Silver Lake area, Burbank, you know, wherever I was able to kind of, you know, find little quiet and we weren't disrupting anybody, we shot at.
So how big a story is this?
This is bigger than I could handle on my own. I'll just say that. Like, the original, what it was supposed to be, I'd written a full-length season, and I was going to start doing that, and unfortunately, you know, the things didn't work out money-wise with the producing team I was involved with, so instead of, like, trying to force myself maybe do 3 episodes of the original season, I decided to do these episodes as kind of like a prequel or a introductory season where you're getting at least introduced to all these different characters that are going to be the main characters in the bigger story. And I just know you've only, unfortunately, you've only seen the 4 episodes at the moment. As you start watching more, you'll start realizing, oh my gosh, this can be, This is an ensemble cast. This is a way bigger story than I thought. You know, that you think it's just kind of little.
I think
to,
you start
to, you know,
that a bit the 4th episode. You realize that
it's something really
there are threads.
Big.
These are not standalone episodes. These are threads that are coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the one thing for, like, you know, I hope people are patient to know that one episode might feel like, well, this doesn't connect to that. They all are going to connect. When you get to the end of this season, you're going to – my goal is to try to get to people not to want to see the next season but to need to see it, where
right.
You know, you're like, okay, let's, you know, let's figure this out. Let's see what we can – you know, that was my whole plan, was I couldn't do it on my own, so I tried to tackle stuff that I knew I could produce by myself, you know, and that with the friends that I had and, you know, the actors, you know, that work around their schedules and whatnot. And that's one of the reasons why it took so long, was just, you know, I didn't have a big, I want to say it was flat out independent guerrilla style filmmaking with really talented people.
Yeah. I mean, Lisa Brenner and Courtney Gaines are just 2 of the people mm-hmm. that you have that are, I mean, they just happen to have long resumes.
Yeah, and you'll see in the next few episodes, I mean, to me, I feel like everybody involved is a star, but you'll see some other people that I think are, you know, kind of rising, you know, actors, people that I think that
I think
you'll notice.
For sure.
Yeah.
Very striking
I was just so proud of her doing this part, because I think, like I said, that was what sold me on her, was that you could tell there was, you know, that kind of, not a chip on your shoulder, but just kind of that, I know I can, you know, you get stuck kind of getting cast as kind of the girl next door, or the, you know, sometimes in L.A., they want to pigeonhole you in a particular type of role, and I feel like a lot of the actors I got out of this, they all told me that. They were like, oh, I usually get this, or I usually get that, and for them to kind of, I feel like the roles in this, I feel like, you know, they really broke out, and, you know, I hope, you know, as far as people will feel the same way once they see it.
Definitely, and you've just got such a quality cast. Your writing is incredible. How many episodes are there in the first season?
It'll be 15 episodes, and they range from, like, you saw, had one of them was like 2-3 minutes. They range from like maybe 2 minutes to like 10 minutes. So it won't be the same every time, but there'll be – basically what I'm trying to do is in 2 weeks there'll be 4 more episodes that'll come out, and then I'll wait 3 weeks more, and then 4 more will come out, and then when I get to the last 3, I'll do every couple weeks I'll have an episode because they're a little longer. So, you know, as far as –
That's an interesting release schedule. What made you go with that?
Like chapters.
Yeah, kind of like chapters. The reason why is, like, when we screened it, for, like, cast and for people in L.A., it felt like it works really well. It feels like a really long pilot, like if you had a pilot premiere TV show or something, because it's going to be about an hour and a half long. And it just felt like when you saw everything, people were like, oh, my God, this could be really big. This is they were really excited about it. But then when I was showing people, like, one episode at a time, I feel like, I don't know, just people weren't – either they would get it or they didn't. They would completely miss the boat on what we were trying to do. And so I felt like, well, maybe if I can tie them together a little bit closer, like chapters, maybe people might – oh, I understand what it's all threading together. Or I don't know. Right. I kind of worried that, like, what if I had 1 week where I showed a 2-minute episode, people might get disappointed. So at least, you know, people have at least 2-3 weeks that they can watch, you know, four at a time, and hopefully we can start building, you know.
I'm waiting.
You know, momentum.
I'm waiting for the next one.
I need the next chapter already.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, no, I was going to say the next batch, you may think it's going, like, you're going to get more characters involved, and I'm hoping, you know, as far as it just builds. Like, I knew when we screened it the first time, I remember for the actors, you'd get, like, you know, pretty good applause in the first few episodes, and by the time we made it to the fourth episode, people got the vibe of what it was, and you could just hear the applause get louder and louder after each episode, so... you know, hoping, you know, people will be excited for more.
I definitely am excited for more, and I can't tell you how honored we are that you came on today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many seasons do you think this is going to go? Do you have, like, 2 or 3 planned?
No, what I want to do, I mean, my ultimate goal is to take it to the next step, you know, so I want to get that next season to happen, and I know I'm going to need help, whether it be, you know, through investors or... You know, I haven't officially done, like, a crowdfunding thing. I realize nobody really knows me. I tried to do one early on, but the only people that gave me money was, like, my girlfriend and family. So it wasn't quite, you know, like a typical crowdfunding thing.
Right.
But what I'm hoping that I can get through at least a 3-4 season arc.
Awesome.
But I know it's going to need, you know, I guess I'm just going to take one step at a time. But, you know, my first step is just get it to that next season, which hopefully I can start to, you know, show people more of what this is and what we can do. So hopefully, you know, I got to just do one step at a time.
Well, I think it's extremely impressive, and I hope that at the end of the season you will come back on the show and bring Courtney and Lisa and Ashley and the rest of your cast. We'll get them all on and talk about the experience.
Yes, I know they would love to do it. So you tell us when, and I'll coordinate it.
We would love to have them all on because it's so impressive. I can't wait to see where you go. Now, I have put in the chat room your YouTube, We Are Angel Series, your Facebook,
mm-hmm.
the website, weareangelseries.com, and your Twitter. So people need to go and like you on Facebook, share the show with your friends and family, share it online, go and follow them on Twitter, make sure that you like and follow their Facebook so that you can know when episodes are released or when there's a lot of little extras from early on when they were still, when you were still promoting the show early on before it was finished.
Yeah.
There's some great clips and things you can watch on the YouTube channel. You definitely need to watch this show if you have not seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, get on Indie Inner Tube's Facebook and let us know what you thought. But make sure you leave a comment on the YouTube channel for We Are Angels and let them know what you thought, because they're the ones who need to hear it.
Yeah, no, we actually gotten a lot of people on Facebook posting it. You know, we had a ton of people on Facebook posting it, but we realized, oh, gosh, you know, on YouTube. We didn't think
about
that.
Get on Tumblr. I'm going to share it on Tumblr tonight. I'm going to
put it
up
right
on
now.
Our Tumblr.
Oh, sure.
Tumblr right now?
Yeah, I have a Tumblr, but I haven't quite figured out how to use Tumblr properly yet.
It takes a while. If you're not, you know, 12 or 13, it takes a little bit to learn how to use it, and it takes a little while.
I have a few years to catch up.
Yeah, me too. I can't tell you how honored we have been to have you on the show today. You've been a delightful interview. I am in love with this show. I hope that our review of it early on let you know how much we like it.
No, thank you so much for having me be a part of it. Like I said, for me, it's an honor. So anytime you want me back, I'm more than happy.
We will definitely talk after your next four episodes are released about getting the cast on.
Okay. No problem.
And getting more people to listen. Thank you so much.
No, thank you again for you guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, we were honored to have you on, and we're honored that you've been listening to our show for so long, and we hope that we can help bring some more eyeballs and fans to your show.
I need the next chapter.
We need the next chapter. When can people expect the next chapter to come out?
It'll come out April 16th.
Oh. That's not too
so,
bad.
So, Ian, what is that, two weeks? And maybe I'll work something out with you guys, you know, so that you can get a sneak peek.
Oh, I don't know. Then I'll make us wait for the following chapter even longer.
What I'm going to try to do either next week or the week after, I'm going to do clips like I did with the other ones. So I don't know. It's probably not enough, but, you know.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
It works.
Thank you so much for being on, and thank you for the show. And trust me, we'll be reviewing the next four episodes as soon as they're out.
No, thank you again, and it's a pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you so much. You have a good night, and good luck with the show.
All right, you too. All right, bye.
You know I'm expecting...
I'm completely in love with that show.
But you know I'm expecting, like, Ash's character to turn into, like, Gabriel, right?
Really? Are you really?
Yeah. There's something about her, and I know if I was doing a show with her particular look and to put her sort of outside of herself as being what she probably is cast as, which is the, you know, the hot girlfriend or the ditz or the bitch, I would turn her...
Well, she's a heroin addict in this.
Right. Yeah, I know. And I'm talking about the angel.
Lisa Brenner.
Yes. So not that one, the other one, the dark-haired one, the blue eyes, Wonder Woman syndrome.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably have her pull a Gabriel and be like that, like he said, the angel.
Like,
said,
I know.
I'm
know,
here
it,
for
it,
a day.
You know what's really
why
funny is that I never once asked you if you recognized Courtney Gaines. I just assumed that you did.
I did. No, I did. But
like
I was
right off.
Like immediately. As
soon as I saw
talking,
the lower half of his face, I knew who it was.
As soon as he started talking, I was like, oh.
Phenomenal character actor.
That's why I said, like, that whole third episode is just, like, it's a bit
and
of a
he's
workshop.
In it. He's in it.
He's there.
He's
and
in
he
it.
He is that embodiment of.
He is an extremely accomplished character actor.
Yeah.
Children of the Corn, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Sweet Home Alabama, which are my
favorite. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, it's amazing. And it's amazing to see that and what it brings to shows like this.
Yeah.
And what they, as actors, can step out of normally from the Hollywood system and you know, provide.
He was in The Burbs.
He was in everything.
Can't Buy Me Love.
He's been in everything. He played the wolf boy in The Burbs. I call him the wolf boy.
But we have another guest coming on.
We do, who has never
been on our show.
Been on our show, and hopefully this will be a segue into her being on our show more than
hopefully she hasn't been on hold. She has. She's giggling.
Oh.
Hopefully this. She hasn't been on hold too long. Sandra, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, ladies?
We're doing good. We wish that we were going to be with you guys tonight.
Oh, man, we wish you were here. We really do. And it won't be the same IAWTV meetup without you two.
So it starts soon, doesn't it?
It does. So, unfortunately, I'm going to be your hit-and-run guest where I'm going to talk fast.
No, we got it. So it starts at 6 o'clock tonight, right, in the living room?
It does. It starts at 6 o'clock in the living room at the W in Hollywood. And we've captured quite a few guests that came in from LA Web Fest and that are going to be attending Hollywood Web Fest and also the Indie Series Awards. So we're going to have a really good crowd, it seems like. And surprise, we have a beautiful blue sky day here in Hollywood, so that should also help the turnout.
And you know Brent White will be there, and hopefully she'll be taking pictures for us and for herself and for the IAWTV, so we will have some pictures up.
Yeah, we're so grateful to Brenda because she's a really good photographer and takes great shots of all of us. So she's supposed to be there and going to document the event.
Did I see that your show, Kat McKay, Life with Kat McKay, did you win something in LA Web Fest?
We did. In LA Web Fest, we got three awards on Saturday night. I won for Best Writer, so I was super excited. And then my actress, Marie Del Marco. She won for Outstanding Achievement as a Lead Actress. And then one of my supporting characters, Jim Garrity, won for Supporting.
Jim Garrity plays her dad, right?
Yeah.
He's a dad.
Yeah. His name is Will Steele.
You did what? 2 seasons of that show?
Yeah, I'm wrapping up second season and the entire series. Even today as I was driving, I was like, I know how I'm going to end it. So I was writing the ending in my head. Yeah, and so I'll just shoot 1 to 2 more episodes and then it'll be done.
Now, have I seen the actor who plays McKay? Have I not seen him getting a little more work in Hollywood lately?
Actually, Jim, the one who won for Outstanding Supporting, he's been on Scandal and Criminal Minds and a bunch of stuff. And Paul, I'm not sure. He's been doing a lot of theater work. I'm not sure if he's been getting a lot of, like, TV stuff, but maybe.
Well, you know, you are just, we have to have you on the show. You have to come on. We're booking for April. We want to get you on in April to talk about Life with Kat McKay, of course. But then other things that you've done in the past, stuff you've done with the IWTV, the community itself, it'll be a really interesting conversation to have you on.
Well, I will, you know that I like to talk, so I'm all about it, ladies. I will be there.
So how much fun are you going to have tonight?
It's a 4-hour event tonight, so it starts at 6, ends at 10, and so hopefully that'll give everybody a good shot at being able to mingle and interact with each other and really catch up.
Yeah, I'm so happy that the IWTV is doing more meetups and offering more benefits and doing more stuff on behalf of the members, and I think it's really starting to show, and it's exciting.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I'll tell Jeff Burns, who's working really hard to get the discounts to our members, and you guys are working hard on it, and I definitely think this board is a really great board that's moving this thing along. So that's nice.
Yeah, thank you. And I do think that we've got good energy and good people, and we're getting you back involved again. And, you know, it's exciting.
I got my toe in there.
Yeah.
I can't quit them.
I know, you can't quit us. And, you know, you all have that kind of spirit and energy right now, and it seems to be lasting longer and longer and longer, which is good.
That is very good. Well, and then on that happy note, I'm afraid I'm going to have to bow out now and head over to the park.
That's okay. You head over there. You tell everybody we said hello. We wish that we could be there.
Okay, and I will dispense hugs from April and Amanda and Indy and Perfume. How about that?
Please dispense hugs, and then I will get with you, and we will set a date for April.
Yes.
Thank you so much, you guys. We really appreciate it. Have fun tonight.
Thank you, and you have fun tonight.
Okay, great. Bye.
Awesome. The awesome Sandra Payne, if you want to see the work that she has done and the first and almost finished second season of Life with Kat McKay, you can find that on Purse Dog TV on YouTube.
What?
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Can I mention something that's very nerdy?
Yeah.
And
freaking
hilarious and completely ties in to web series stuff? So we're all interconnected in a way on Facebook, and it's fantastic with each other. But I have to give massive kudos to Stephanie Thorpe because she decided to school everybody today, if you didn't already know, because I didn't, because I'm an idiot sometimes and I don't like to look up what things are. But she posted earlier today that the hashtag and or pound symbol isn't called a number sign, a pound sign, or even hash sign. It is technically called an octothorpe. And so when you are using that lovely pound sign or number sign, it is actually an octothorpe. And she, that's why it's funny, and now she, from this point forward, will be saying octothorpe that.
And I just kindly pointed out that we were all Otto Thorped today. So, like I said, it's sort of a weird web series shout-out. Thank you, Stephanie Thorpe, for educating the masses in what the actual Octothorpe symbol is. Sort of like an ampersand. If you don't know what an ampersand is, hold down shift 2. But yeah, that's my little nerd, my little web series nerd additive today. I don't know why. It just seemed appropriate. Because we're all like, hashtag pound sign blood. That's not what it's called. It's not my name.
It is interesting, isn't it, that our TV watching has just kind of morphed lately. We watch a little bit of regular TV. We watch a lot of online TV. I talk to people at work about what I do within the inner tube, and they're most people now are starting to get it.
Yeah.
When you say web series or online content, they're like, oh, you mean like House of Cards? It's not the Guild anymore.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, you mean like House of Cards?
Right.
Or Orange is the New Black.
Right.
And I just go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like that. And then I point them towards things like We Are Angels, or I point them towards things
like,
you know,
before you could try to, you could try to say, have you watched the Guild? You know, that was usually the first question. And well, it's like, what? It'd be like, have you heard of the Guild? And now it's like, have you heard of House of Cards? Have you heard of, you know, the little tiny episodes that you got in front of Grey's Anatomy while the season was on hiatus? Yeah, those. Or, hey, remember that time you watched the premiere episode of a television show that actually never got aired because they canceled it before it ever hit TV, but you watched it online?
And
yeah.
Some people, a lot of people have seen the ones from Milo Ventimiglia
mm-hmm.
and David Arquette,
mm-hmm.
all the Crackle shows, because Crackle's everywhere right now.
Crackle Sony. Crackle Sony.
Crackle is now available.
Everything?
On Google
everything?
Chromecast.
Yeah. It's
That's
on
a new
everything.
New announcement that was just...
That was just made. You cut yourself off there. But, yeah, you can say House of Cards. But, again, and see, but then you get into semantics. You get into semantics in the community because they're like, is it a web series or is it a television show?
It's digital content.
See? And that trumped it. But is it, if it was made for TV?
Well, it was initially conceived for TV. It
wasn't
made for TV. When they went into making the show and it actually went into production, it was for Netflix.
Yes. No,
it had
originally
been shot to HBO,
yes.
But when it went into production, they knew it was going to Netflix.
Right, right.
So
so its initial shoppage was for long-format television content. And yet, when they got the green light, it was then turned into long-form digital content. So technically, everyone is right and wrong in the argument.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. Just accept it, move on, and, you know, we'll go forward. Don't worry, because Disney will own everything in 20 years.
20?
Well, everything. I'm including the internet in that. That's going to take a minute. But, yeah.
Amazon Studios has got, what, 6 new shows they're doing.
I think so.
Amazon Prime?
I think they went ahead and lit 6. Either 5 or 6. I can't remember.
Including their first 2 dramas.
Yes.
The After and Bosch. As well as an adult series called Transparent and Mozart in the Jungle have been picked up for full seasons. And then came the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are all from March 31st. These are all from today.
Yes.
That Dana Delaney has been cast in Amazon Studios' pilot, The Hand of God.
You saw that.
I did see that. Did you see that?
I saw a blurb about it, but I did not pursue it. Probably
yeah.
should have.
Okay. It's one of the most interesting of Amazon Studios' new batch pilots
uh-huh.
that are it's just in development. They're
because,
not,
yeah, that's
it hasn't been
greenlit through.
Yet.
Yeah.
It tells the story of a less than morally righteous judge. Who has a high-end call girl on the side. The man has a religious awakening when he starts seeing visions and hearing voices coming from his ventilator-bound son, as if God might be speaking directly to him. Video Inc. says, weird, if interesting. And then you see the show's cast and crew. Ron Perlman, Garrett Dillahunt, Mark Foster is on board as the director for World War Z, and now they've signed Dana Delaney.
Nice.
That's a cast.
Do you think Perlman...
Garrett Dillahunt was most recently on Raising Hope.
I know. Do you think that Perlman will be the judge or Dillahunt will be the judge?
I'm betting Ron Perlman. Garrett Dillahunt is the son.
You think?
I'm betting he's the one on a ventilator. Is Garrett Dillahunt.
Could be. Could be. So I would find it interesting if Ron Perlman was like the voice of God through his son. Through the son.
The other Amazon Studios new drama that is in development is called Hysteria, mm-hmm. and recently cast Mina Suvari in the lead role.
Really?
Yeah.
I had not seen that one.
I'm telling you.
Really?
Hand of God goes into production in April.
Hmm.
Ron Perlman is one of the executive producers.
Nice. Hopefully he will stay uninjured in this endeavor. He has been injured on every single set he has ever frickin' been on.
Now, I don't know what people know about Mina Suvari. She's done a lot of comedy. She was also in American Beauty.
Yeah. That's her one of the bigger ones.
I love and in Hysteria comes from Sean Cassidy. And I find it interesting that a lot of people say come from Invasion creator Sean Cassidy and Alcon Entertainment. I think of Sean Cassidy when it comes to his television career. No, I'm not talking about, you know, the guy that I had a crush on as a kid.
Right, not that Cassidy.
That is him.
Yeah, but not
thinking about him in that way.
Not
right.
His Partridge Family persona, Cassidy.
He was not a Partridge Family.
Wait.
His brother was a Partridge Family.
That's
Sean
right.
is the
yeah.
younger brother.
Sean is the younger brother. Yeah, but you're not thinking
the
of that.
The younger prettier brother.
Right.
No, I'm thinking of American Gothic.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Because I was like, please don't tell me that you're stuck in sort of Partridge Family era.
No.
Because
I'm thinking of American
sibling.
Gothic.
But no, American Gothic. Yes. Thank you. That is why I love you. It's no different than when we were in the store the other day, and I looked down and I said, is that Lindsay Wagner? And I'm like, yes! And thank you for knowing that. I love you.
American Gothic is one of the most brilliant TV series I have ever seen. It was created by Sean Cassidy and executive produced by Sam Raimi.
Mm-hmm.
It first aired on CBS September of 1995 and was canceled after a single season in July of 96.
It kind of got overshadowed by another show we like to call The X-Files.
It starred Gary Cole, Lucas Black, Paige Turco, Brenda Blake, and Sarah Paulson.
Someone's at the door. Remember, that was their tagline.
Yeah.
That was their tagline. That was, like, Sarah Paulson's only line. Someone's at the door. You know? You're just
She gets killed.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that was her – that's, like, the only thing that her brother –
she was in every episode.
I know. But, like, that's the thing. Whenever they did the TV spot for it, especially when they re-aired it on Sci-Fi, when Sci-Fi first became its own network, the very first show that they got rights to re-air with American Gothic. And the only thing in their commercials that they showed was Sarah Paulson in her little nightgown fading backwards, you know, in Raimi's famous push forward with the camera, uh-huh. but pull zoom out at the same time, saying, someone's at the door. And it's just...
That show was so far ahead of its time.
Oh, my God.
It was what American Horror Story has now become.
Has now become, exactly.
So, and I mean, I know that Sean Cassidy... did Invasion.
Which a lot, you know, that was hit or miss for people.
What, Invasion?
Yeah, it was.
It's the most recent thing he's done.
Yeah, but again, hit or miss. But it's hard because you have to realize there is a system in place that everybody has to puzzle piece themselves into right now. And unless you're J.J. Abrams or somebody along his team, it's not going to happen. Or Shonda Rhimes. Or anything like that. You think of something outside of the box, and unless it gets 6 million plus base views, you know, it's out. Nowadays.
Invasion's not that old, though.
No.
It didn't do well.
No. One season, if I'm not mistaken.
Not even, I don't
did it
think.
Get, like, did it get, it got, like,
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I don't know if they aired all 22 episodes.
No, but it got over 13 episodes. That's another thing that we no longer have. You know, it's like a product of the millennium is, you remember when television shows, first seasons used to run in between 22 to 25 episodes, and now we're lucky to get 13 to 15? Anyone else remember 20 plus? Because I do. I remember getting 22 episodes a season on some show.
So the fact that he's doing Hysteria.
Right. Makes you go, okay, perhaps he will gain a bigger foothold, which for him, I like his stuff and I like what he does. So
I used to have a satin jacket with his picture on the back.
So if were I to, you know, see him succeed in the web space, I would be okay with that, with him in that. Some other people might not be. That's okay.
It's happening. Such a crush on
I don't know, you know, it's happening. So I don't know how else to say, well, no, don't come into the space. They're too late. They were holding the party in the back, apparently, while the rest of us were busy with the front door. You have to, like, find, like, it was everywhere on Sci-Fi. I remember that when Sci-Fi first became, like, this big thing.
I still think that, and we've said this to Barry before, that Ragged Isle resembled, in a lot of ways, American Gothic. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
American Gothic was something else.
It was one of those shows ahead of its time, not unlike your other favorite one, The Inside.
Also way ahead of its time.
Yep. You could almost bring them both back. Oh, God. You can only play like 10 seconds, babe. Jeebus.
It's a little Do Run Run from Sean Cassidy.
Did you just... It's like you Rickrolled the room. But instead of Rickrolling it, you can
do it. He's doing web series now. How hot is that? I love it.
You know what? I'm going to find that picture. And I'm going to post it on Throwback Thursday Facebook day. You and your jacket.
What? No. There is you. Oh, my God. There is a picture.
There is. I've seen it. I know. That's why.
No. The jeans have Sean Cassidy on them, too.
Yes, they do. You're like, there's like a pillowcase and a jacket and a poster and some pants. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he was on your underwear, your socks, and your shoes.
Well, it was also the Charlie's Angels time, too.
Well, and so. Kiss. You got some Kiss for Christmas in one of them photos. I'm like, where's that box? Where's that original Kiss set of whatever you got? Because I want it. But see,
that was embarrassing.
I can find that picture.
That was embarrassing. And on that note, I think for tonight, Andy Innertube might be over.
That's all right. Just talk to my mom. She'll give you the most embarrassing things ever.
Next week on Indie Innertube, we're not quite sure who the guest is going to be, but we will be reviewing the first three episodes of season four of Ragged Isle. We're going to be reviewing a couple of other new shows.
Woo! You know I love new shows.
I'm telling you.
So don't make my head hurt.
I'm telling you. Telling you. Lots of stuff we're reviewing, getting caught up on. Barry Dodd is going to be sending me some links to see a lot of the shows on his network, and we're going to be having him on soon to talk about the one-year anniversary of the entertainment experiment.
Yes. Yes. I don't mean to be laughing. I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at Lynn Wachter.
Why?
Because she is a woman after my own heart. For
Why?
Some reason, she goes, I don't know why it's showing up now on my Facebook, but she's having a nerd girl moment. She's like, I'd like to interrupt your regularly scheduled program to share with you the sheer joy I feel in my heart as a result of watching Big Trouble in Little China. And that joy is heightened by the warm fuzzies I get remembering that Mortal Kombat's Raiden was based on Lopan's servant, the Three Storms. This is where this ties in, because Mortal Kombat third season, look at there, Three Storms, Raiden. There you go. And then, of course, she quoted the movie. So, Lynn, you are A-okay in my book. Because, yeah. And I would quote it, but that's, no, you'll shoot me.
No, please, go ahead.
But, no, it's the whole, it's the when some wild-eyed, 8-foot-tall maniac grabs your neck, taps the back of your favorite head up against the bathroom wall, and he looks you crooked in the eye, and he asks you, have you paid your dues? Stare back at that big sucker right in the eye, and remember what old Jack Burton says at a time like that. Have you paid your dues? I was waiting. I've got 10 seconds, Ray.
Jerry, what's going on?
Oh, but you know what? That came from the Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys.
Yes, sir. The
Sean
check is in
Cassidy
the mail.
And Parker Stevenson.
We have degraded to that. We're
yeah,
talking
degraded
about
degraded into the Cassidys and Leif Garrett.
What? What?
What?
What?
What? Stop saying that.
Sarah Gilbert married Linda Perry.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, that just flew across my tongue. Play it again. You gotta play. You gotta play us out on this.
Wow.
I'm what?
That's interesting.
I'm afraid.
My goodness. I think we'll just, you know.
Very appropriate.
This morning I woke up with this feeling.
Okay, yeah, who doesn't remember that?
I love, okay, I'll admit I love it. It's a fucking harpsichord. I fucking love this song. It's a harpsichord.
And see, we can talk over it because you do realize this is not Sean Cassidy's.
No.
This is his brother.
This is his brother. Here it comes.
This is for Linda Perry.
And Melissa, Sarah Gilbert.
And Sarah Gilbert.
Not Melissa Gilbert.
What am I so afraid of? Perhaps it is
the
your
fact
face.
That you are singing the lyrics is scarier than anything else.
How is that scary? That is a great song. And it's a great song because...
And you didn't like to do Run Run?
It's too poppy. It doesn't... There is no harpsichord. Tell me, outside of frickin' Mozart, who else used a harpsichord? What, Billy Idol, maybe? David Bowie, one of the two? I can't remember.
The Parker family did. They had the coolest bus ever.
They did.
Now, who knew that the Cassidys were going to turn into some of the twisted, darkest minds creating American Gothic?
Oh, I thought
and
you were
working with
say in
Sam
general.
Raimi, of all people, because we know Sam Raimi's all messed up.
See, I thought you were just going to say in general. Like, well, which is, you know. Maybe the Brady Bunch could have given
now,
them a run.
Now, isn't listening to Indie Inner Tube just a really nice break
from reality?
From Crimea, Russia, Putin, the Ukraine, a Malaysian flight that is apparently 24-hour breaking news, even though we know fuck all. And
but that's news.
A mudslide.
But that's news. We know fuck all, but we're gonna talk about the fuck all and tell you
when,
what
I'd really rather talk about is We Are Angels and the Following.
Yes.
Because seriously, the Following might be the only television show that's actually been able to keep me on my toes in a very long time. Because did you see it coming that Claire was still alive? No, you did not.
You just spoiled the hell out of the show if nobody's seen their most recent episode.
Did you? Did you see it coming?
No, I was gone. I was out. I was checking out of the show. I'm like, I don't want to watch this crap. It's like watching David Koresh, What's his Nut from the
And then
Game.
In one episode, they turned it around.
Not even. In like the last 5 seconds of the episode, it was like,
I'm back. Right? So we watched like back. The Following. We keep up with The Good Wife, obviously. But we watched The Following, keep up with Scandal and Good Wife. They're on the DVR. And we watch Chicago PD. How weird are we? And we don't watch any of them as appointment viewing. They're all on the DVR.
No, it's all on the DVR because I can't – you know what? That's our problem. We have gotten to a point with television watching where we have to have at least 4 episodes stacked, like stacked, racked, ready to go, so that we can sit and watch and get surprised and hit the cliffhanger episode in the mid-season and then come down on sort of the filler episode that's the last one that we have in the bunch and go, after we watch the preview for the upcoming, oh, my God, next series of cliffhanger chapter episodes kind of thing. We're like, okay. Because I can't stand it. Like, I'm not going to be able to watch. I need, like, two. I need at least more than
we've
one.
We've watched the last of them. We have to see.
I know. I need another group. I can't just watch the one because I will go stir crazy. I need like a small grouping.
Small grouping.
I need to devote like 5 hours of my life to watching The Following in one go. Yeah. Because the surprises, that surprise right there, what is it, 5 episodes in?
Yeah.
It's
yeah, that was.
I'm going to need at least 3 to get me through that one surprise.
Chicago PD is good. I've been very impressed with that show. Well, Sophia Bush.
Oh, yeah, well. And what's his name who plays the lead?
He's really good.
I can't even remember his name, though.
And then, you know, you guys all know how much we love American Horror Story. And the fact that they signed Michael Chiklis and everybody else is coming back for Freak Show, I'm down.
I'm down.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
It's like screaming.
But, you know, it's really not a big surprise that we watch so much online when you have shows like We Are Angels that are that good.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think that's another part of it, too.
Because I can't tell you the last time a TV show moved me to tears.
Mm-mm.
It's been a long time.
Well, we didn't cry last at a show. Like, there was something we cried. It was good, and we cried.
I can't remember.
But it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Criminal Minds, when Haley died.
That might have been it.
You know, when Haley died and that whole reaper thing
maybe
happened.
That's
maybe. The last time I can remember sitting in the living room being just like, you know. Other than that, I can't really
recall. Grey's Anatomy might have made me cry. Shonda Rhimes does that. Hate her for that.
What, when everybody died?
Well, no, she just does it sometimes out of the blue. You're like, what? I'm emotional. Why? I don't even know why.
What? I'm emotional. What's happening? Sean, damn you, Shonda. Your emotion.
Did I get a tear for Lost Girl? No, I don't think I did.
Not a tear for Lost Girl.
No, not a tear for Lost Girl. Sorry.
I don't even think that we've cried at a movie. Like, I'm legitimate, like, I know that we got upset and legitimately cried when Haley died in Criminal Minds. That's what, 4 seasons? 5 seasons? Oh,
something like that.
4 seasons?
Yeah.
And so there's that. I didn't even cry when Emily died.
No, because we knew it wasn't real.
Right. I cried when Haley died. That was freaking
sad.
That
was for real.
And that was a real death. And as far as, like, movies go, I'm trying to think the last time I watched a movie and cried.
Dude, the Tampa Tribune did a story about Nicole Richie's web series getting picked up by VH1.
Yeah, because it is...
It was a reality show picked up by fucking VH1.
It's an AOL reality web series called Candidly Nicole.
It was adapted from her Twitter feed. Come on.
I know. So it's gone from Twitter to web series to VH1 because it's Nicole Richie.
I'm sorry. This is what you want? This is what VH1 thinks their audience frickin' wants. A web series that AOL adapted from Nicole Richie's Twitter feed that they're now going to turn into 8 half-hour episodes on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
VH1 is supposed to be playing fucking music.
Oh, they haven't.
Pardon my friend.
They haven't done that since I was like 15. You kidding?
I do not. I am sorry.
I remember when...
Hold on. Spew time.
I remember. Do you remember when the only thing that they showed on MTV that was not music was Aeon Flux?
Do you remember when the only thing they showed that was reality-based was The Real World? And that was a slippery slope, because look what it started. Have you ever seen Nicole Richie's? Have you seen it?
Do you realize that most people who are watching VH1 don't even know who the hell Nicole Richie is because they weren't born yet when she was on her reality TV show with
Paris Hilton? Have you watched Candidly Nicole?
Do I want to keep my brain cells?
Because there is absolutely nothing about this show that
don't
is original.
Play it.
No, I'm not.
Just bring it.
I don't get it at all. I don't see why reality has to rear its head in the web series space.
Money.
And that's what gets picked up. That's what gets the money. That's what gets the attention from the networks and the press. You want to freaking tell me why? Because I don't understand.
Because they think that's what we want. It's the same argument that one woman had that was trying to be a director on Sex and the City when she was told, why would you direct four women talking about their relationships as a woman when it should be directed by a man? There is no logic in that.
There's no logic in
that. It's kind of like the Republican guy going, well, I've never actually thought about why a woman would want to have an abortion.
Because, like, the first episode of Nicole of Candidly
Nicole. You can't even say it.
Pound Candidly Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Is about, it's basically fleshing out her tweets for you. when she tweeted that she, you know, woke up and felt pretty good until she remembered she has a tramp stamp. And then we get to see the first episode of Candidly Nicole about where she goes and has it removed.
Okay. So my question is this.
Such a great need to know to have her tweets fleshed out?
No.
Real and made into life.
Is the younger population on this planet so damn lazy that they can no longer read 140 characters that aren't even typed appropriately or with any proper English and grammar?
Do television executives really think that the people that watch that shit are the only ones watching TV?
Apparently.
The people watching that crap can't afford to buy a TV. That's why they're watching it on their phone. And their attention spans are that of a gnat. But they're not going to be the ones that are going to pay for your advertising and your salary. Their parents are the ones that pay for their phone, not them. So why don't you make something their parents like? Capiche?
That would be silly. That would be kind of intelligent. I wasn't going to bring that up, but I saw
Let's all salute the demise, the hopeful and very real, and God let it be soon, demise of reality television.
Yeah, that's right. Because, God, it can't come soon enough.
Because, you know, Nicole Richie is 32.
Yeah, she's my age.
And they're catering to an audience that is younger than her.
No, like I said, the youth that watches VH1 right now and is going to look at her, I can already feel the tweets and the tumblers saying, who is this old, crazy, haggard, tattooed bitch, and why is she on my television?
She has 4.35 million followers.
Because the woman was not – these kids who are watching Nicole Richie were not even born when she was hot shit on television with Paris Hilton.
And when did she become some kind of guru for let me know what you're thinking about pop culture? Do people not remember A Simple Life? That reality show she did
with
Paris Hilton?
They weren't born yet.
Or has she now redeemed herself?
Because she had a baby?
So does that mean we have Honey Boo Boo's web series to look forward to when she redeems her ass?
You mean when she's like 30 and...
It's the dumbing down of the American culture, and we're buying into it.
We're not just buying it. It's not even American. That's the sad part, is that is our culture. Where you look at places like Japan, and you see their culture, and you're like, God, that is beautiful and magnificent. Why would anybody want to destroy that amazing, like, historical, just, oh, my God, it hurts. It's so beautiful. And culture. And then you look at American culture, and all we are obese, dipshit, pedophiliac, McDonald's stuffing, trailer park owning, asshole.
And really the Wall Street Journal stooped to doing a story about Nicole Richie's tweets being made real.
Well, come on now. Money.
When did she become a fashion icon?
When she had her baby and stopped hanging out
with
Paris?
Well, because she's the creative director of House of Harlow, 1960, actress, author, entrepreneur, and philanthropist, Nicole Richie. Wow, have we gone on a let's redeem her. Clearly, the PR people have remade her.
Well, they're trying.
Her unfiltered sense of humor and unique ability to infiltrate any environment to a new VH1 reality series based on her entertaining tweets.
Really? Because I can sit in a million-dollar coffee shop and spout bitchery.
Voted one of the best Twitter feeds by Time magazine.
Oh, God. Time. Can I have her PR
insight.
People?
She's going to give insight into her decisions on style, relationship, her work life, her journey to adulthood.
Yeah, it's called getting pregnant without a daddy. Without a baby.
She had the baby daddy.
No, it was called getting pregnant without the baby daddy and then making up with the baby daddy, quitting your reality TV show, stop hanging out and drinking and partying and being a dumb shit.
Now check out Susan Levinson from VH1's original programming. It says, Nicole's sharp, acerbic sense of humor and broad audience appeal. To whom?
What?
Her broad audience appeal to whom? It's one thing to have broad appeal online. But
I'm
for
confused.
One thing, VH1 is buried so far down my digital dial then I probably wouldn't even find it. I sure as hell wouldn't go looking for.
I don't even know what it's
to find Nicole Richie.
Well, it's VH1, VH1-2, VH1-Now, VH1-Teen, MTV1, MTV2, MTV3,
TLC. And VH1 is an adult station.
Yep.
VH1 delivers the ultimate mashup of music, pop culture, and nostalgia for adults who still want to have fun. And you think I want to watch Nicole Richie?
I'd rather watch her dad.
I'd rather watch her dad.
I'd rather watch her dad. Hello? Isn't me all looking for?
And she's married to Joel Madden. They've had two children
mm-hmm.
and founded a foundation. That's great. That's wonderful.
Okay. Well, you can't. All right. You can't get down on her for founding a foundation. You can't do that because, you know what? I have to throw in Angelina Jolie into that batshit crazy round. But at least she's a UN ambassador. But she never did a reality TV show about being a dumb rich shit with a famous dad with her best friend causing trouble for the rednecks.
And I can't take her seriously because of the person she was then. Yes, I realize you've grown up and gotten different and become a different person. But you were a mean, narcissistic, clueless person. And you captured it for posterity just in case any of us might want to be able to get past it. Because them episodes is out there.
Yeah. They're on
I
DVD.
Think it's great that she's, you know.
I'm not going to fault anybody.
Grown up and gotten married and had kids. But you know what? Her show's not that great and her Twitter feed's not that entertaining. You want to know who's got the most entertaining Twitter feed? It's Jerry Ryan.
I was waiting for it. But no, it's just
Jerry
like,
Ryan's got a great Twitter feed. She does. It's extremely entertaining.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I could find better Twitter feeds to follow that would actually bring, I don't know, some sort of sense of enlightenment, joy, and purpose in my life. And you know what? Nicole Richie may provide that for some people, and that's great. Those are not my kind of people. And I'm okay with that. We might hang out in a social setting, and I might go home early. So, you know, that's just the way of it. And that's okay. I'm sure shit not going to let my kid watch it. So I'm sure there will be plenty of those. I remember when I watched her. I was in high school. She was funny.
Yep. Just.
Yep. Yep. I'm just gonna King of the Hill it.
Wow.
Yep.
This is the world we live in. This is the television industry that so many people in web series are so desperate to clamor into. The people who would rather pick up and make a star out of Nicole Richie once again for doing nothing and yet would ignore and or cancel really good television shows.
Because it doesn't appeal to
kids that don't have money anyway. Because that's the big conundrum. Yes, it appeals to those kids, but where are they getting their money? Mom and dad who don't like that crap and don't want them to watch it.
Right.
And, of course, Cold Cast is ending on April 1st,
yeah.
Being shuttered. And I agreed with
Which
Susan Bernhardt like, today, who said that that was the only place you could ever find Misbehave. It was the first network that where we watched the majority of our content on. It's where we found Misbehave.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we found Compulsion. It's
mm-hmm.
where we found
I'm
Mark
hoping,
Gardner's cell.
I'm hoping it's a really bad joke. I'm hoping it's just a really bad joke because it is on April 1st. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just begging for it to be a really bad joke because I don't know where those shows are going to go. And where some of these people who didn't have to worry about finding an outlet, finding a network, finding somebody to help them get out there and be seen are just going to be, again, floating in the ether of YouTube to be ignored.
But, hey, Nicole Richie's got a show picked up by VH1. about her Twitter feed.
Whoop-dee-fucking-shit. As I would like to quote one of my favorite robots, Servo, from MST3K.
Wow. On that note,
I like how we ended. You started happy and ended happy.
To go to We Are Angels series on YouTube, and you need to go to WeAreAngelsSeries.com, and you need to check them out. It's one of the best new web series we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
Have some Kleenex handy for the first episode, and definitely notice their cast and how good everything is. Please know we've got some great reviews coming up for next week. Oh, wait. Next Monday there will not be a show.
No, there will not, and there is a reason for that.
Because it is my birthday, and I'm being taken out to I don't know where.
Right. It is my day to take her out to do her day. So that's what we're going to do.
Actually, we'll be doing that on the weekend. We'll probably hopefully be going to the place I want to eat on the Sunday.
We'll be doing a lot of things because it is your two off days.
But I have gotten a massage for my birthday.
Yes, that is the
full
one
body,
thing you know for sure.
Hour and a half massage for stress management, and it's going to happen on Monday, and I'm not going to be able to do a show on Monday night. So there will be no show on April 6th. 7th, 8th, what is it? There will be no show on April 7th. Indiana 2 will return on April 14th. April 14th. And we will put that on our Facebook and on the website. We're going to be putting up a new theme on the website, so be looking for that.
Which we also have to keep in mind, though. The 14th, we will have an episode.
Yeah.
But the following week, we will not.
I can do an episode by myself.
You're going to do an episode on it? I might. You're going to make me call in?
You could call in.
Unless I'm on a plane?
You could call in. That would be awesome. So.
But what if I'm on a plane?
Puppy.
She just looked at me. She's like, leave me alone, please. All right, guys. So we will return on April 14th, but please keep watching our Twitter feed and our Facebook feed. No, we're never going to make a web series out of our Twitter feed, but we will keep you up to date on what's going on in the world of web series. How about we make that deal with you? We will never make a web series out of our Twitter feed, but we will use our Twitter feed to keep you updated on what happens in the world of web series.
Yeah.
Deal?
I like it.
Well, then if we got a deal, then until April 14th, y'all, get out there and share some web series. Enjoy your content.
And Rob would like to call in sometime soon if we'll have him.
God, yes.
And he's got announcements and news about he hates me, about I hate
oh,
me
then
single.
Let's have Rob on April 14th when we come back.
We'll do it.
I'll email you, Rob.
Yes.
I will email you, Rob, and you will be our featured guest on April 14th. We love I Hate Being Single. so.
This is a whole negative. I love it.
How about that for a deal, you guys? Get out there and share some shows. And remember, Twitter feed should never be web series.
Unless they're really good. I'm talking like shit my dad says good.
But that didn't even survive being a TV show.
No, but it would have made a great web series.
Until next time, America. I